Thank you for listening to the Message Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We're here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference. This December, we're making a difference through the Big Give. Find more information at everynationnyc.org/biggive or on our Instagram at everynationnyc. Enjoy the message.
Now and then, and my hope and my prayer is that just as a human being, that somehow I could encapsulate all of the beauty and splendor of what the passage that we're going to look at tonight speaks of. I feel what God demonstrates, and my hope is that this will not just be words of expression, but it will be a demonstration by God's grace that he'll be here with us. After all, his name is Emmanuel. The name that we celebrate about God is Emmanuel. It literally means God is with us. And what we're celebrating is not that is not a distant God. He's with us. And he loves us. He didn't come to us to destroy us. He came to us to love us. And what the passage that we're going to look at tonight is really just an expression of God's love for us. I'm going to spend a little bit of time reading through this scripture. It's 20 verses long, and so forgive me. We're just going to read it through together. But here's why. Because there's a lot of misconception. Almost 2,000 years, about 1,800 years of misconception around this scripture. There was a false gospel written that filled in a lot of blanks in the story, and it's just not there. And I want to later unpack that Jesus was not born in a stable outside of Bethlehem, but was born in a home inside of Bethlehem with people. And I think that's important because God wants to come home to your home. And I think it's on us to invite him in. And so I'm going to show that through this scripture that some of the, we've got a Thomas Kincaid painting here, that this is not the scene. I love Thomas Kincaid, but actually I don't. But that he got it wrong, and that we've got it wrong for a long time. But anyways, that might appear or may not. Anyways. So we'll read through this scripture, starting in chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration within the Quirinus was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room or place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there was a shepherd out in the field keeping watch. There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddly clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that he had heard, for all they had heard and seen and had been told to them. Let's pray. God, we invite you here. I pray that these words would become alive, that we'd see them. We'd see them in our lives, that we'd see them in our home, that, Lord, your glory would shine around us tonight by your grace, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, and that you would come here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe what God is trying to show through this story, this angelic choir, the invitation of shepherds to a home in Bethlehem, to the birth of Jesus, is that he loves you. He loves you. I've been working with my son quite a bit lately. He's now four, or he's almost four. He's almost four. And Christmas is a tough time. He was born on December 21st. And so what that means is that there's like this horrible season of drought, of presence drought in his life. And then December hits, and then all of a sudden there's this bursting forth of presence in his life. And he expects presents to fall off of every tree right now. Like, he just wants strangers to give him presents, and every auntie and uncle and Gigi and Papa and me, like, everything's got to be presents. But also we you know, presents are not just for him. Little does he know, but presents are for everybody, right? At Christmas time. But sorry, dude, your birthday and Christmas, they're kind of close together. And so he experiences 11 months of presents drought, and then like this great harvest of presents at December. And it kind of spoils him. He kind of becomes a little bit of a jerk. I'll be honest with you. I love him dearly, but like, man, I want him to just, as a father, I want more for him. I want him to grow and expand a little bit. I want him to be able to receive gifts with gratitude and then be able to give gifts with joy, with a joyful heart. And so we've been working with him so much lately to try to express to him, I love you and I'm going to take care of you, but right now we're going to give your twin aunties, who are just 1 year older than you, some big gifts. I had to work with them because we packed up these big boxes, and they were pretty and they're wrapped, and we had to take them to his auntie's house, and they're five and he's four, and we had to give them away, and he's like, Daddy, where's my gifts? I'm like, they're coming, son. They're coming. And then that same night I had to leave him, and he was really just begging with me, don't leave, Daddy, don't leave. And I'm like, son, I'm going to a Christmas party, and you're going to be fine. Just go to bed, and don't terrorize the babysitter. You know, that's like all I want. And I'm trying to express to him, like, son, you're okay. Like, I've got gifts in store. They're in my closet, and it's just not your birthday yet. There's gifts in the closet. I love you. I'm going to come back tonight. I love you. I love you. I love you. Would you just be secure, okay? Like, would you just be secure, little four-year-old? And I'm trying to express how much I love him. And he's like, in the meantime, then he starts just kind of tearing apart the day that we had. He said, Dad, today was it was like this today. I was like, what are you talking about? You know, we went out to eat. We went to a diner. It was like our day off. We took him to a diner. We ate pancakes. I mean, come on, pancakes. And like, I wrestled with him, and we had a great time. And then we went over to Papa and Gigi's house and gave the twins gifts. And like, it was a big day. And I was like, buddy, today was not this. It was probably this. You know, it wasn't this, but it was probably this. You know, it was probably like a solid 1 foot day. It wasn't the biggest day. I was like, but buddy, we've got some big days coming. You know, your birthday's coming up, and we're going to travel to California for Christmas, and we've got all sorts of big things, but just hold on, buddy. And I was like, but meanwhile, you've got to know I love you. I love you, and I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to make sure that you get your big days. I'm going to take care of you, buddy. I know this is a long story. I said, Anders, how much do you think I love you? He goes, I don't know. I said, do you think it's this much? And he goes, and he kind of holds up his fingers. And I was like, it's more. It's bigger. And he goes, huh? And I was like, it's bigger. And he goes, huh? And it's bigger. And he goes, like this? And then he gets two hands. He's like this? And I go, no, it's bigger. And then he's like, what? And he gets just frustrated with me. And I say, buddy, I love you this much. And it just blows his little mind. He's like, whoa, that's so much. I'm like, I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to come back tonight, and it's going to be all right, and there's gifts in my closet. You know, like, you're going to be okay. But I'm realizing that for God to bring good things into our life, for the flow of his love and his grace and his blessing to come through our life, for the good things that he wants to bring through our lives to come to pass, we've just got to be secure. We've got to be okay to see things come and go from our life and know that he still loves us. And what God is expressing here is his extraordinary love for people that did not understand that God would love them. Did not understand that God would love them. Shepherds were not, we've got these beautiful agrarian scenes where the shepherds are just these kind old bearded men, and they've got sweeties in their pockets, and they're basically your grandpa with a sheep on their shoulder. And that's just not quite the case. They were social pariah. They lived with animals. Do you know anybody that, lots of you live with animals. We're in New York, and you've got these tiny little pet cutie things. I mean, like, stinky big barn animals. Like, they lived with them. They kept warm with them at night. They lived in the outside. Have you seen that? The outside. They lived out there. They did not have access to running water or facilities. They smelled bad. they were not the kind of people that you would invite into the hospital after you give birth. They're definitely not that kind of person. We've got a very tight list. It was like me, I was allowed there at the birth of our son and daughter, and nobody else. And Mary, the mother of our Lord, had shepherds come in on this very private, awkward moment. We don't know exactly how long. I like to think that it was hopefully not that night. Maybe it was the next night or the night after that God had some like courtesy on the mother of his son, you know, like, but we don't know. The text doesn't tell us. What God is saying is that these shepherds were invited in. They were invited in, people that were far from God. And he's saying, I love you. And tonight, whether you've been walking with God and you feel so very close to him or you are far from him, God wants to say, I love you to you tonight. To say, I don't love you this much or this much, I love you this much. And whatever I can do to demonstrate my love to you, I will do it. I'll send you my son. He'll die on a cross. He'll give you grace. He'll forgive you of all your sins. He'll give you 1,000 tries and 10,000 more. Just come to me. Just love me. Just know me. And so God is opening up an extraordinary invitation through this passage. They're watching their sheep, keeping watch over their flock by night, just minding their own darn business when the glory of God starts to burst at the seams. The glory of God, we oftentimes think, is a word for shiny. It does not mean shiny. It's a very odd word with it just means glory, but it doesn't mean bright or beautiful or shiny or glistening. It means weighty. The weighty reality of God starts to break through the fabric of reality onto the scene, and it is all around them, and the goodness of God is now being expressed to them in such a way that they see it and they feel it enveloping their reality. And then an angel comes and they are terrified. He says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Good news, great joy for everybody. Good news, great joy for you. Whether you feel close to God tonight or not, whether you've been walking with him or not, if you've been a million miles away, there's good news of great joy for you. And my hope is that this could explode in our hearts, that God's reality would press in on us, that his glory would press in on us tonight, and that we could feel the weight of his reality in our lives. Because he loves you so much. He'll stop at nothing to express it. And I know that you've got the arguments probably scrolling through your head. Well, he wasn't there when my grandmother passed away. And he wasn't there when I needed him in that test. And he wasn't there when I needed him in X, Y, and Z. But the truth of the matter is that God was there. He was right there with you. He was right there in your reality. And he felt the things that you felt. And the greatest news ever is that God's got something better. He's creating your story into something better if you'll only lean into him. My stepmom last week shared her story of how God made awful situations into something better and more glorious and more beautiful. And when we connect our story into God's story, he takes the brokenness, he takes the shepherdy parts of us, the parts of us that smell bad, the parts of us that are not welcome in social occasions, the parts of us that we wish did not exist, and he brings them right into his plan and into his promise and expresses his goodness through them. That's good news. That the worst parts of our being, the stinky parts that we wish did not exist, that we wish a shower could take care of, that God uses those things to express just how good he is. That's a very good God. That is a very loving Father. And he invites these men right into the heart of his story. This passage mentions several times that Jesus was lying in a manger. Manger literally means feeding trough. And that there was no room for them in the inn. The word inn here is kind of poorly translated. The ESV has recently updated its version. Excuse me, the NIV has recently updated its version. And it says that there was no room in the guest room. And that's a probably more accurate response. I've got some diagrams of Palestinian homes. If you were a rich ancient Palestinian, then this is not what your home was. This is your home. If you were a poor ancient Palestinian, you didn't have a guest room, but you did have a stable at the front of your home so that you could bring your one cow and your three sheep and your two chickens in at night and it would keep them safe and your family warm. And then I think we've got one more. Here's a rich home. They've got a guest room. And so you know, if you're a poor Palestinian, you had a studio. And if you're rich, you had a one bed. And that was kind of your options. And so these shepherds probably lived in homes like this. They had mangers in their homes. And so when the angel says, this will be a sign unto you, they're saying this is a specific tailor-made sign that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to look a lot like your babies. This will be a sign unto you. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's like saying, this will be a sign unto you, New Yorkers. You'll find him in a walk-up lying on an airbed. You're like, oh, I get it. He's a New Yorker. He's a New Yorker with a guest over, you know? And so everybody had piled in to Bethlehem for the census, but they were there too. They were not rejected by the grumpy innkeeper, a Gentile that didn't know what they were talking about, made that story up in about 200 AD. He just the grumpy innkeeper, the donkey, the no room at the public house, the inn. It's a different word in Greek. It was all made up later, and it just worked itself into our tradition. But the beautiful thing is that God had a sign for these people that he was going to be born in a home that they recognized. And in a home that they were welcomed into, these shepherds. And so today, whether you, again, feel close to God or not, he wants to have a sign to you that you are welcome, that you're brought in, that you're going to be included in the story. And then what's incredible is that these shepherds all of a sudden become the first evangelists. These men with no training, very little, you know, they hang out with sheep. They don't speak terribly well. Their linguistic abilities are not very well developed. They're likely illiterate. They're God's first evangelists. They're the ones that are going to be used by God. And so the first people that they tell are the people that are in this family home. It says in verse 17, and when they saw it, they made that's Jesus and Mary, and he's laying in the manger. They made known the sayings that had been told to them concerning the child, and all who heard it. It wasn't just Joseph and Mary. It was everybody else that was in the home that had filled the guest room, and there was this family home that was bursting at the seams. All who heard it, they wondered and they marveled at what the shepherds had told them. But verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary understood why her baby was announced with angels, and everybody else in the house was like, what's going on here? That's what the scene is. Jesus was born into a home. And the question for me and you is, will we let him into our home? Will we invite him into our lives? And will we then join with the shepherds and go and tell the world all of the good news of Jesus? That it does not matter who you are or where you're from or your background, that the glory of God is and his goodness is bursting at the seams of reality to try to tell us that we are welcomed in and that we have been made new and that we can be used by him and that no matter what we've done in our life, God's plans are going to prosper in our lives if we join with him. And tonight we've got an incredible opportunity to join with this extraordinary news that God's saying that your life is going to count. Your purpose is going to count, that whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you've got all the great words and the good clothes and the great friends and the job and the career, or you feel like you are on the very fringes of society, God wants to be in your life and to use your life. for the highest calling and the highest purposes all over this city and all over this world. When God enters into a home, he changes the destiny of that home. It happened for my family through my dad. When his mom came to know the Lord and she started praying for him and he came to know the Lord in college, it changed the course of our whole entire family. And for some of us, we're going to be the first generation of changing the course of history for your home. Others, we're walking in that lineage. We're reaping the privileged benefits of the history of a life lived with God. But others of us, we're on the cutting edge of that. But when God comes in, everything changes. All of our circumstances change because we start to see everything in the light of our good Father. When we don't get the gifts that we want in the moment that we want them, we can trust him because we're not a four-year-old and we're not impetulant. Like my son, because we know God is good. And we can trust him beyond what we immediately see right in front of us. And we can trust him and keep holding out and keep pressing in with him until we see all of his promises come into our life. God is good. And I feel like heaven is bursting at the seams to try to proclaim his goodness to us. I love the angels. They sing this song, "Glory to God in the highest." Glory to God in the highest. That there's this extraordinary, glory rich, weighty, powerful God. That's good. But kind of who cares? Because now what these angels are announcing is that this glorious, powerful, mighty God is now invading earth. He's coming into our space. The glory of God is all around them. They were terrified and fearful. And frankly, we've made a lot of movies about this in kind of a different way, where a celestial being visits planet Earth and says, "Take me to your leader," right? Like, we've seen these movies. Like, just because there's a celestial being coming and speaking to us does not mean that there's good news on the other side. Most of the time, it's bad, like, it just in our minds. Like, this has thankfully never happened. But here's what's basically, this is what the shepherds think is happening. But God's saying, glory to God in the, or these angels are singing, glory to God in the highest, but on the other side, and on earth, peace among those whom he has pleased. God came to bring peace. God came, this is Ailsa was saying, to settle our anxieties, to calm the chaos of our lives, to give us a greater hope and a greater future than we could ever know by ourselves. And as we come into this story, we become like the shepherds, where we go out and we proclaim to everyone we see, God's good. God's good. Some people are going to get it, some people aren't. As we go into our work, we go in with a different mentality that God is working through us, even though we hate our boss and even though we hate maybe even our colleagues, that God can use these horrible moments, these low moments in our lives, in our work and in our families and in our studies and in every part of our life for his good and for his glory. He turns things around. And so in the darkest nights, while the shepherds are just doing nothing, God turns up. My heart and my prayer tonight is that God would turn up for you. And I believe that for those with whom he is pleased, that's just anybody who would turn their heart to him, he's here for you. And God's saying, I love you this much. Would you just trust me and just come to me and just throw your life in with me? And tonight we're going to be able to do this in a very practical way. We're in a season of our big give. And tonight is our big give Sunday. And we're going to join with God in giving big. I love that God makes the first move. And this has always struck me. I'm like, why does he have to send his son? What's up with that? We believe that God is Trinitarian. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. God gave his son. What does this mean? Well, when you're all-powerful, almighty God that speaks and creates matter, basically stuff doesn't really matter to you. You know, it's beyond being a billionaire, trillionaire, gazillionaire. Like, it just, there is no limit to the amount of cash flow to this guy. And so when he wants to express his love, he gives of the only finite substance that he has. When the infinite God wants to express his love towards you, he gives the only finite substance that he has, his very self. And so God sends his son down to earth and gives of something that he has so little of, his one and only son. He could have given each of us $1 billion and totally wrecked the economy, and we'd never be able to recover. You know, he could give us all a pile of gold, and then gold would be worth nothing. No, he gave of the rarest thing in the universe. He gave himself. God wants to show you, and he's bursting at the seams to demonstrate to you his extraordinary love for you. He loves you more than I love my son. He loves you more than you can handle. He loves you, and so he's calling us into a trust relationship with him where we do what he does, where we give, where we live big, where we identify with him and trust him and throw our lives in with him to do some extraordinary things for his glory around the world. And what I love is that this church here, as we sit in this room, we're kind of small in number. And thank God we're growing, and God is doing some extraordinary things in this local church. But there is no little thing about what this church is doing. We might be small in number, but my gosh, God is doing some awesome stuff through us. We're building wells in Pakistan that are ending up starting hundreds of churches. We're building a church building in India. We're partnering with an organization, New City Kids in New Jersey. And I would love to just continue to walk you through all of what we're doing together through our big give. But instead, I'm going to invite our executive pastor up to do it a bit more. Pause.